5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Before we get into this week's question, I want to give you all a really, really good update that I am very excited about. We opened up registration for our Sports Career Accelerator event last week, and the response from all of you was excitement, but it was coupled with some anguish. Many of you said, I love this event, I want to come, I'm trying to figure out a way, but it's a little expensive, and I'm not sure if I can afford it. Well, we heard you loud and clear. So over the last week, we got to work trying to figure out how to reduce costs and pass those savings on to all of you. And it's never as easy as you think, but let this be a lesson to you. When something isn't right, or you see the market isn't responding exactly as you expected, or anything in your work life, no matter what it is, don't go into blame mode. Oh, well, this person cost too much, or that vendor did this or that, but don't do that. Solve the problem. Figure out what the problem is and solve it. And that's what we've done. We spent the time getting creative and figuring out ways to reduce costs. And now we are dropping the price by $200. So now you can register for our Sports Career Accelerator event, spend 2 days with me in Atlanta, plus executives with the Braves, Falcons, United, Hawks, College Football Hall of Fame, and more, learning and networking for just $399. Many of you also asked for a payment plan. So guess what? We did that too. We figured out the solution. We figured out how to get it done. You can now pay in two installments of $199 and spread out the costs. We want you to be at our event. It's going to be special. So we're doing all we can to make it work for all of you. So please visit workinsports.com/Tremont/Atlanta. That's T-R-E-M-O-N-T. And you don't need me to teach you how to spell Atlanta, I don't think. Tremont is our partner in this. So it's workinsports.com/Tremont/Atlanta. Let's get this thing rolling, okay? Now, on to today's question. This comes from Tony in St. Louis. And Tony, before we get into your question, a round-trip flight from St. Louis to Atlanta, $200 in Expedia. Not too bad. Hi, Brian. I'm a big fan of your podcast. Thanks so much for all the help you provide all of us listeners and aspiring sports workers. My question is related to soft skills. So many of your guests talk about the importance of things like attitude and charisma and work ethic, which makes sense. But I find some people light up a room naturally, and I envy that from them. I'm not that guy. I'm a little shy, a little reserved, a little less gregarious than others, but I am no less smart and no less talented than they are. So how do I get across my soft skills so that people can see how talented I am and deserving of a job? Damn, Tony. I love your open and honest vulnerability here. You are being so straightforward and honest about the struggles you've had, or understanding yourself and knowing that you're not that guy that's going to stand out in the room and you need to figure out another way to solve this problem. I love that. Two words come to mind. Be curious. Here's what I mean. Okay. When you are curious, you ask questions, you ask thoughtful questions. So if you're curious about the other people that you want to get to know in the room and you ask good questions, that's how you deepen your emotional intelligence. That's how you deepen your connection with other people. That's how you make yourself more likable. Now, I've always felt this way, and we're going to go into a lot more detail about it, but a recent Harvard study totally backs me up. The research conducted looked at the role of asking questions in interpersonal relationships, and it found the simple act of asking questions is one of the most important aspects of trusted and open relationships, higher emotional intelligence, and learning. According to the study's founders, there are four types of questions, right? So there's the basic introductory questions. Hi, how are you? Okay, that's easy. You've all done that. There's mirror questions where you are repeating and asking back. So I'm fine. How are you? Okay. There's your mirror question. There's full switch questions. Those are ones that change the topic entirely. And then there's follow-up questions that solicit more information. All of these are good questions and have their place in conversation. But the researchers found out that follow-up questions are especially important because they signal an interest in the person you are talking to. This makes complete sense when you really think about any conversation you've ever had. If somebody asks a follow-up question about the conversation you're having, it proves they're paying attention, they're engaged, they're listening, and that deepens your relationship because you know that they're committed to it as well. So when do you ask questions, right? So anytime you're getting to know people, it is worth it to be asking questions. But one of the most important places to ask questions is when you're being interviewed. We've all been there. You go through a 3-hour job interview and you're kind of tired or mentally exhausted. And your would-be boss looks across the table and says, "So what questions do you have for me?" And you're like flush out of questions and you just can't think of anything. You're like, "Ah, I think we covered it all." And that's the wrong answer. You have to have some things in your back pocket that you want to inquire further about. So that gets back to our be curious. You always have to have something else you are still curious about. Super, super important. When's the wrong time to be driving into all these questions? There's always, you have to have some emotional intelligence and learning where the person is in their day too. If you're at a networking event or during an interview, there's no bad time. Of course you can ask questions. Of course you can be engaged on hundreds of different levels and curious about everything. But if you are interrupting somebody in the normal flow of their day, or if you ask them for 10 minutes of their time and you're at 20 minutes now, you have to be able to sense these things and pull back in your questioning, because then you're hurting the relationship because you don't seem like you're paying attention to their needs or their body language. Now, the bigger question here is, how do you ask? Most people are not trained on how to ask questions, and it is an art form. You know, I'm trained as a journalist, so I spend my time asking questions. It is like my livelihood. I ask questions during the podcast. I ask questions of people I interview for articles. I'm always trying to get to open-ended responses. The longer I can get them to give me an answer, the better and more information I'm going to get. So I have to train myself to always ask open-ended questions so that it's not a simple yes, no, or a one-word answer. And how do you do that, right? Most people will tell you if you start your question with who, what, when, where, or why, you will automatically get an open-ended question. But that's not really true. If I ask somebody what their best quality is, and I started it with what, but they could easily say my eyes or something like that. And it's a closed question, right? That's a one-word answer. So you have to do a little more thought. My thing to remind all of you is that you should think of how you would answer your question before you ask it. Could you get away with a one-word answer? If so, recraft it to dig a little bit deeper. Now, you don't always have that luxury. You're in the moment of asking a question. So you have to come up with ways of knowing what they're talking about, paying attention, listening, and then asking a question that just goes one level deeper, you know, or if something sparked in you as they're discussing, you know, their job and their role, and then you come back and say, well, how big of a influence does revenue play in that? Or something kind of open-ended so that they have to dig a little deeper into their thought process in this. That's how you're going to build that relationship. Now, one pitfall, huge pitfall, is I call it the sports talk radio conundrum. You need to be concise. And the reason I call it the sports talk radio conundrum is because most interviewers on sports talk radio just take forever with their questioning. Now, I know that this is where I can run into trouble sometimes. I listen to myself back on the podcast when I'm doing interviews, and sometimes I will say, oh my gosh, that question was so long. The longer your question, the more likely someone will get confused, disengaged, or distracted. They're confused on what you're really trying to get at. So being concise is important. What I mean by the sports talk radio conundrum is the sports talk radio hosts are responsible for filling so much airtime and are therefore trained to talk forever and ever and ever. And often when they get interview subjects, they don't adapt their style to the moment. They remain in their time-filling mode and ask these like monolithic questions. I laugh every time I hear an interview on sports talk and some host goes on and on with a question comprising of part A, part B, part C. And then the next thing you know, the interview subject is this long pause as if to say, I have no idea what you're asking me. So be clear, be concise, be specific, right? Know what you're trying to get, digging deeper into that conversation, opening it up for them to give you more, one of those good follow-up questions, and that's how you're going to get deeper. The other key is to be a good listener. The only way you can ask good questions is to listen and be engaged in the topic being discussed. This gets back to what I said at the very beginning. Being curious means you are listening. You're getting something out of the conversation, and that's how you're going to form good questions back, good follow-up questions. If you're interested in engaging in the topic being discussed, you're going to have better results than if you daydream or lose focus. You'll fall out of rhythm and possibly even ask something that has already been answered. Big no-no, bro. One of my best friends in the industry is Fox Sports reporter Laura Oakman, and she's always said to me over the years as we work together as producer and reporter, she always said, she tells people that you have to stop thinking about what your next question is going to be and listen to what their answer is. That's when an interview stops and a conversation happens. Now that's powerful, right? If you're listening and you're engaged, that's how you're going to have smart interaction. It's not about just asking the questions. It's about having a smart interaction. You want to impress the person on the other side of the conversation to the point they're saying, all right, this person's really got it together. They're smart. They're asking good questions. I'm impressed. If all else fails and you're struggling in the conversation or it's just not working, Dr. Craig Allen, associate professor at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Arizona State University, has a very simple philosophy. He told me once in an interview, just begin every question with the word why. I tell that to students all the time. Now, it's never that simple, but I love the philosophy of if you're just not sure and you're struggling, start a question with why, and chances are you're going to get some open-ended response out of it. So it's a good place to get things going. You want to stand out from the crowd, be likable and emotionally intelligent. You want to master the soft skills. So practice these techniques and ask thoughtful questions. That's how you warm yourself up to people. You don't have to, Tony, if you're not the most gregarious guy in the room, you don't have to be to do this. You know, once you get through that initial question of, hey, how are you? Introduce yourself. I'm concise. I'm whatever. Once you get through that and you start to get into a dialogue and you ask really smart questions and you're curious about who they are and what they're doing, that's how you're going to build your relationship. That's how you're going to show your soft skills. And it is that easy. You don't have to be the loudest person in the room. I promise you. Just be curious. All right. That's it for today's episode. On Wednesday, Evan Feinstein, Assistant Director of Marketing at Wake Forest University Athletic Department, is on the show. It's a great interview, lots to learn. He's young in his career, and he's extremely excited and a go-getter and has learned a ton and has really progressed in college athletics, so he has a lot to share. I will talk to you guys on Wednesday.